Dear ones, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, in the beauty of this morning, of a new day that thou hast blessed us with, we have assembled together in this thy house of worship. And Lord, in the calmness of this morning, as we have assembled together, it is our prayer that thou would calm our hearts and would affix our eyes, our hearts upon thee, O Lord, as thou wilt reveal thyself through thy word unto each one of us. May we have eyes that are open and hearts that are open and ears that are open so we would take in thy splendor and thy beauty and to follow after thee. So enlighten us all, dear Lord, with thy light. Empower us with thy power. Thy word which is before us, bless us, dear Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, with the Lord's help, let's turn and read together from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 12. Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, we'll read the first 34 verses. Ljubavne želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz Evanđelja po Luci, 12. glava, 34 brojeva. Evanđelja po Luci, 12. glava, prvi 34. In the meantime, when they were gathered together in an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, after which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing you shall say, answer, or what you shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain man, rich man, brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them, how much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So there was in the chapter before us that really, when we think of the hymn writer that wrote the hymn of the hymn that we just sang, we can take that directly out of this chapter, where we sang that one thing is needful. One thing is needful, Lord, one. And teach me highly to regard this treasure. And we go on and we sang that all the other things that are just a yoke that presses hard. So when we seek after the things of this world, it's a yoke and it presses hard upon us. The heart is still fretting, striving. No true lasting happiness is it deriving from these things. So teach us of the one thing that is needful. And in this parable that we have before us, our Lord speaks of that, speaks of the very thing. But he opens in this chapter we open up after the Lord has really denounced the Pharisees, and the lawyer came to him and says, are you with these sayings that you're saying, are you reproaching us? Like, are you talking against us? And he goes on and he tells them, woe unto you lawyers. But as we enter into this chapter here, we see a gathering that has come together. It says it's innumerable. It's huge. An innumerable amount, multitude of people. It says that they were walking upon one another. They trod one upon another. And he turns to his disciples. This is the same Jesus who has just healed many, who has given sight to those who are blind, who has caused the lame to walk, and many, many miracles are being performed by him, and the Pharisees are against him hotly and denouncing him. And he turns to his disciples and he says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He unmasks these hypocrites. He takes the mask off of them, and where they are portraying themselves as something that their heart is not. And that's why they hated him, and that's why they sought to kill him. But he tells, and we see in the second verse here, he says, there's nothing that is covered that will not be revealed. There's nothing that is hid that will not be known. Hypocrisy. He's certainly talking to his own disciple, Judas. The hypocrisy of your heart will be uncovered. He's given him a warning. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware. Don't mask yourself. Don't pretend. When he says beware, he says watch. You know, we watch on many things. We watch our diets. We watch our exercise. We watch many things that we look for to watch. But Jesus is telling us, watch on the leaven of the Pharisee, which is hypocrisy. Watch so that your heart in no way is betraying what you're portraying yourself as being. Watch. Be careful of those things, because those things are going to be uncovered. They cannot stand at the judgment seat of Christ. It will be uncovered. It's hidden, but it's going to be revealed. You'll be stripped of everything. The mask will be taken off of you. And so he gives a warning to the disciples and to us today. There's nothing that's covered will not be revealed. Nothing hid will not be known. Therefore, he said, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. That which Judas did in secrecy, the 30 pieces of silver that he received, it's being proclaimed today. Centuries later, thousands of years later, it's not hidden. It's been revealed. And so he says, as he spoke to the disciples, so he speaks to all of us today, dear ones. Be careful. Watch. Watch on hypocrisy. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Jesus prepares his disciples, his church, his believers, his followers, for one road. It's a road of persecution and death. He told his disciples that they will be killed. He told them, you're going to die. He told Paul, you're going to die. I will show you how great things you're going to suffer for me. Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, that message is not attractive. You want to go step out onto a road that's going to lead you to being hated, persecuted, put to death ultimately in a very harsh and cruel manner in which no one wants to die. He told his disciples, this is what waits for you. But he also tells them something else. He tells them, but I'm going to be with you. And so we see that, and oftentimes, brothers and sisters and friends, we oftentimes, I know, we find ourselves focused so much on this life. We pray about our health. We pray about the very things that we can feel and see and touch and smell and all those things. We're so focused upon these, and we pray so earnestly for those things. How often do we pray, Lord, take this mask off of me. Show me what's in my heart. Paul prayed for the very same thing, that thorn in his side, and Jesus answered him. He says, I'm gonna answer your prayer, but I'm gonna answer it in a way. I'm not gonna give you the grace what you seek. I'm gonna give you the grace that will overcome that which you have. I'm going to be with you. I will give you more of myself. And you will be able to bear that thorn in the side, in the flesh. So did God leave him with no answer? No, he gave him an answer. I'm going to be with you. And you're going to bear that. Because my strength is in your weakness. That's when my strength will shine through. Paul says then, I will gladly suffer the loss of all things, so that the power of God, of Christ, would rest upon me. If I'm not willing, then I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. This chapter then is speaking directly to me. Take off your mask. Who are you pretending you are? You're not willing to suffer the loss of all things so that the power of Christ would rest upon you? That's not what you seek. Well, if it's not what I seek, it's not what I'm going to find. Don't be afraid, he says. Don't be afraid those that can kill you. There's a lot of fear-mongering going on today. Fearing of stock up your pantry, stock up your basement with canned goods and all kinds of stuff. Stock up for what? To live an extra week? If there's a shortage of food, if there's not going to be anything, are you not going to share that with others anyway? What are you fearing? He says, fear God. Fear God. Don't fear what man can do. Don't fear if you won't have anything to eat. What are you saying, that God doesn't know what you need? He says that here. He says, what is the glory of the lily? His beauty is coming from within. Solomon was arrayed in all his splendor with all of the things that he put on himself, with all of his possessions. He was the queen came from the south to look and to be amazed at what he had. And she said, the half wasn't even told to me. And he said, the lily of the field is more beautiful than that. Why? Its beauty is coming from within. It spins not, it toils not, it doesn't do anything. The heart of one who has submitted his life unto Christ, his beauty is from within. Do we even seek for that beauty in one another? Or are we attracted to the outside, the things that attract me to the wealthy, attract me to the well-to-do? It's attractive. We are. We are attracted to those things. Let's not lie. We're attracted to those things. And those are the things that Christ is telling us. Stop pretending then. Don't pretend that I am most important to you in your life. You're impressed by well-to-do people. You're impressed by what Solomon was able to do. You're impressed by these things. You're not impressed with the one who had no pillow to lay his head. Who is calling you to come, come. Follow me. This is the road. This is the road that leads to that which we sang, the heart is still fretting and striving, no true happiness deriving, nothing there in the things of this earth that we are so focused on. He says, that is in me. But in me, to find me, what does John talks so beautifully in his entire gospel about faith, but he talks about it in an active way. He says, but as many as received him. So how did someone receive Christ? He says, to them gave he power. So those who receive, you don't get a power unless you receive him. So if you don't have him, you have no power. And how do you receive him? He says, even to them that believe on his name. It is this believing that we have a receiving. And in this believing, dear ones, as we receive him, his power rests upon us. And then we see clearly in the splendor of his beauty. Our heart no longer frets and strives. No more fretting, no more striving. Its true happiness is found. Its joy is in Christ. His power is upon us. And we rest in him. And then he is the one. He is our servant. What does he tell the woman at the well? He tells the woman at the well. He says, I tell you, he says, I will give you something to drink. And that water which I give you to drink, from within you is going to flow the rivers of life. Dear ones, who do we hunger for? Or what do we hunger for? What do we thirst for? We see the example that Christ writes. It is probably one of the most pungent paragraphs in Scripture, where he talks about the rich man who he calls a fool. He calls him a fool. This is a man that is well-to-do, the one who figured out how to work and be very able to apply his knowledge and grow in knowledge and his ways in which he can better himself. It doesn't say that this man is a whoremonger. It doesn't say this man is a thief. It doesn't say that he's living an immoral life. It doesn't say that he's some bad, vile person. We could probably think of many people who we would say, this man is a good man. A real bad man is someone else. He calls this, what we would consider a really good man, a fool. You see, dear ones, when the power of Christ does not rest upon us, we see things very, very, very differently. And then our lives become hypocritical. We don't live Christ. This man may have lived the way we would look at a very moral man to live. And we would look up to him and say, wow, very industrious man. Very industrious. He said the ground brought plentifully. The ground did. So what a man does, he forgets who gave him what he has, even the very breath he takes. He forgets who has given him the health to be able to go to work and be so industrious. He forgets who gives him another day to do it in. And he relies upon himself, and he says, self? He's talking to his soul. You can't talk to your soul. He's talking to his soul. He's talking to his flesh is what he's doing. He says, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He apparently is a young man too. He thinks he has many years ahead of him. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. You see, he didn't see the widow in need. He didn't see the one that had no barn. He had barns, and they were packed, but he couldn't hold what he had. And so he looks at his bank account, and he says, soul, eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. You worked so hard. What you went through? Eat, drink, and be merry. So God looks at this same bank account that this rich man is gloating to himself in, and he says, bankrupt. He said, you have nothing. When he was weighed in the balances, the man who thought he had everything had nothing. Nothing. And God tells him, you fool. You fool. He goes, this night, eat, drink, and be merry. You're going to have it for many years. He goes, you fool, tonight. You're not going to even make it through tonight. Your soul is going to be required of you. He says, then whose will it all be? Now your family is going to be fighting over this. Your friends and family, they're going to want all this. It's not yours. You're going to stand at the judgment seat, stripped, naked of all this that you're looking at and saying, eat, drink, be merry, rejoice. You're stripped naked. You're not going to bring that with you. You're standing bankrupt, naked, nothing. And so he says, so is he that lays up his treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so, dear ones, when we think of the living water that Christ says from within will spring waters, if you drink of me, I am the bread of life, he says. He is the water and the bread. Do we thirst and hunger for him? Because out of the reservoir of our hearts are going to flow rivers of life. They flow to others. They flow to others. It's not for me. This man had everything for himself. Nothing flowed from him because he didn't know Christ. Dear friends, if your aspirations are for this greatness, the building of the bigger barns, you may get them, but you're a fool. You're a fool. But if your aspirations are to work and to do for the Lord, what the Lord will reveal to you, from you will flow rivers of life, and others receive the blessings that God has blessed you with and has blessed your ground with, that it provides bountifully for others, for their sake. So that when we, dear ones, in Christ, are continually feeding on Him, that's what faith is. We are continually in Christ. This is the action. This is the verb of belief, believing. It's an action. It's not just a thought system, a thought process. But our belief, dear one, we know when we believe in something, we act on that belief. If we believe that this building will collapse in 1 hour, we will evacuate this building. If we believed it, we would walk out of here. And so that's what belief in Christ does. It acts. And he says, if your treasure is not in God, it's in yourself, you're naked. You have nothing. You have nothing there. He says, I say unto you, take no thought up for your life, what you're going to eat, the body, what you're going to put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. He talks about the ravens. He talks about the sparrows. God sees every sparrow that falls. God sees every sparrow that falls. And he says, how much more value are you than a sparrow? He considers every sparrow that as it falls, as it dies. An insignificant creature to all of us is significant to the one who created it. And he watches it wherever it is that it's fallen. You know, there's a saying that says something like, if a tree falls in the woods, is there a sound that is made if no one's there to hear it? When the sparrow falls far from all human eyes, there is one that sees it. And so he tells Judas here, whatever you're covering up and hiding, it's going to be made known. Because there is one all-seeing and all-knowing, the Creator, who gives us today. And he's going to see the things that are done in secret. And he's going to see, are you arrayed like the lilies of the field from within? Are you arrayed? Is your beauty because of a heart that has been cleansed and made clean by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Is my fear of man? God says, fear God. If you fear God, you will fear no man. You don't know how to fear man when you fear God. And so he says here, again, assuring us, if God is clothing the grass, which is today in the field, tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more to clothe you? And what does it say? Oh, ye of little faith. Little faith. Little bit of believing. Is it a saving faith? Is it an active faith that continues to thirst for that water which creates in me a reservoir that the life of Christ would flow out of me? This is the life of the man. We read this and it doesn't even sound good to the ears, what he's saying here. It doesn't even sound good. It doesn't sound good to an unregenerate man. But yet, unregenerate people strive for this very thing. So he says, seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. My dear friends, do you want life? Do you want happiness? Do you want a joy that is not based upon your possessions? See, if the possessions are the focus, the happiness is in that, and the heart is always going to be fretting and striving, and there's no true happiness. But seek the kingdom of God, and God will give you that what you need. Don't fret. God will give you what you need. I might receive what I need from you, but it's from God. And so that is Christ's intention. When he fills us with his power, we then live for him. And when we live for him, dear ones, we don't make friends with sin. We don't make peace with sin. To make peace with sin is to make God an enemy. And so we might say, why do we always have to preach and hear about sin? Well, a true Christian will only speak of two things, sin and salvation. You can't hide sin under a rock. You can't make it like it doesn't exist. We can't say that we're not tempted. We can't say that we don't struggle with these things. But what we have to do is be reminded every day anew, don't make peace with sin. Don't make peace with that. Make peace with God. To make peace with God is, we heard in the prayer, repentance and faith. Repentance, forego, go away from it, turn around, change your thoughts. So that the power of Christ would rest upon me. I need to get rid of all this baggage that I'm so apt to follow after. Get rid of all these things. Whosoever will confess me. This is a fearless confession that we see Stephen doing. Whoever will confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Dear ones, you know, you can deny Christ without ever saying one word. If you deny me in the presence of men, what man? If you deny me in the presence of men, so how do I deny without ever speaking a word? I've done a sinful act. I have done something which is not, and we might say, well, he doesn't know that I'm a Christian. He doesn't know. Whatever he says here, whatever's done in secret will be exposed. He doesn't know I'm a Christian. And that's the sad, sad thing. He doesn't know. That's the problem. He doesn't know. What's flowing out of you? What's flowing out of us then? If he doesn't know I'm a Christian, and so therefore I'm not too concerned with my actions, what is flowing out of me? It's not, I'm not drinking of that water. What is it? What does a branch do in the vine? It abides. It abides. It's continually feeding and drinking, eating and drinking from the vine to produce the fruit. That's the outflow from the branch, the fruit. That's the outflow from the reservoir within our hearts when we drink of him and eat of him. He is my hunger and thirst. I will never be afraid of a man. I will never deny him before the man. I will not deny him in my actions, in my hidden moments when no one knows. I'm on vacation. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do anything. I can just eat, drink, and be merry for the day, for the week, or whatever. But the light of Christ, I'm not concerned about. I put it under the bushel for just a week, for just a day, or just this moment. Where I'm at. Because if I speak of Christ, it doesn't even fit where I'm at. And he goes on and says, whoever will speak a word against the Son of Man, he'll be forgiven him. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. My dear friends, you are in the process of committing this very sin. If the Lord calls you, you have committed blasphemy. You say, whoa, what do you mean? It's a rejection of the Spirit of God who is calling you to his truths. So you cannot be forgiven a rejection of the Spirit of God who is calling you, inviting you, pleading with you. Your Creator's pleading with you to come back to me. The sin that is not forgiven is the sin that we die in. The rejection of Jesus Christ is the ultimate sin of blasphemy. And he says, and when you bring you to the synagogues and magistrates, powers, don't think, oh no, what am I going to say? Because you know what happens when a soul hungers and thirsts for Christ and partakes of his living word, and he believes and he receives, and the power is on him. There's no fear. There's no fear of man. There's no fear of what's going to come. There's no fear of the mark of the beast. There's no fear of anything. Why? The power of Christ rests upon me. He says, the Holy Ghost will teach you what to say in that very moment. He taught Stephen what to say. Stephen didn't mince words. He told them. He told them their sin. The very men that took him to try him, to murder him, he told them their sin. The Holy Spirit of God told him, don't be afraid of them. Tell them their sin. Perchance that they will hear. One heard, we know of, who was there at his murder. And together they are saints, together. One who witnessed his murder, Paul, came to believe. Only the work of God. That's the only the work of God could do that. And dear ones, we have to be willing to give up everything so that that power would rest upon us. It can't rest upon us when I'm holding on to these treasures, where he says, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. He says, continue to give of yourself. Continue to sacrifice for the good of others. Continue to just live. Let the outflowing of Christ and his light and his life flow from you to others. That can only be done in truth. Truth must be paramount in our hearts and lives, or he's not in there. It's truth. So yes, we do have to speak of sin. Stephen spoke of sin to the people that stoned him. And he spoke of salvation. And that's the story. That Christ came to die for sinful man, so that he would become sin who knew no sin. And so that we would receive him, his righteousness, who have no righteousness of our own. There's nothing we have that God will say, oh, well, you have something. We have nothing outside of him. And to have him, we must hunger and thirst. And we must partake daily. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so, dear ones, we all have to ask ourselves today, where is my treasure? What is springing from my heart? Am I so willing? Am I willing to cause even a moment of not having for myself so that the needs of someone else is met? That man forgot, or didn't know, I should say. He didn't know the joy that comes in service. He didn't know the joy that could fill a heart, dear ones, when one gives of himself to help someone else. The joy that comes from that, he never knew, because he was selfish. He lived for himself. And we can't not do it. Paul says you can't even do it mechanically. You can't mechanically just say, this is for you, this is for you, and this is for me. There's no such thing as this is for me. In Christ, it's not about that. He is all in all. He is all. He has to be. And so, dear ones, let's ask ourselves. Let's let the Lord reveal to us, what is my treasure? What is my treasure? Let's identify it. What is my treasure? Where is my treasure? If it's on this earth, I'm going to stand naked before him. And Christ is calling me today and saying, you fool. Wake up. Wake up to this, to the beauty of worship. Wake up to the power that I will give you. Dear ones, let's not be mistaken. When we pray for health, we pray for life, we pray for many different things, that God answers our prayers if we are in Him. And we will recognize and see those answers, even if the very thing I prayed for is not fulfilled in that way. What a beautiful story of Paul. Christ said, "My grace is sufficient for you." We have to believe that in order to receive Him, to receive His power. Amen.
The scriptures teach us that God sent His Son into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And as we read the words of Jesus, He's speaking words of truth, and He is condemning sin in the flesh, and He is shining a light to help us answer the question that God asked man after he had sinned. Where are you, Adam? Where is my heart? Where is your heart? Psalmist wrote, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." As we hear the word, and as its light penetrates our lives, our thoughts, He gives us opportunity to believe that we would not perish. Those of us in Christ Jesus, we hear His words, and they're in great contrast to the message of the world, the messages of fear, of self-preservation, and we receive great comfort in the truth of Jesus Christ, that in Him we have peace. In Him we have an inheritance that will not fade away. And we can turn off the voice of this world, hear the voice of Jesus comforting our hearts. Those of you who do not know Him, there is an opportunity to repent and come to faith that you would not perish. To recognize that what Jesus says is true. And one day, according to the gospel, God will judge all the secrets of men by Jesus Christ and this word. God, give us wisdom and soberness that we would choose wisely, that we would answer, "Where am I?" That we would draw near to God. May God bless His word to our hearts. Amen. Amen.